give to God the things that are God's. In the name of the one holy and triune God, amen.
Amen.
In the African-American or black church tradition, there is a wonderful call and response phrase that embodies profound theological truths. It goes something like this. God is good all the time. And the response is?
All the time, God is good.
God is good all the time. In the face of America's original sin, slavery, Jim Crow, and the ongoing realities of racism today, African-American people have sung out through the centuries, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Our lessons this morning echo that truth. God is indeed good. All that we are and all that we have come from God, from God's goodness and love. In Jesus, we are called to participate and extend that goodness and love of God in the world. And for this, we give thanks. Now, our gospel this morning reminds us that while God is a God of goodness and love, the world is not always sweetness and light. Consider the context. It's the last week of Jesus' life. Jesus has run afoul of the Roman occupiers and the temple elite, when he rode into Jerusalem amidst those shouts, Hosanna to the Son of David. And then he literally turns over the tables in the temple, the tables of the money changers. These actions, challenging the powers and principalities, are followed by a series of parables that we've heard over previous few weeks, parables that lift up those who are on the margins and the oppressed in our society. He says that tax collectors and prostitutes will enter the kingdom of heaven before the religious and political elite and powerful. No wonder Jesus was considered a political and religious subversive, a revolutionary who needed to be stopped by those in charge, those who believed they were secure in their power. So the Pharisees and the Herodians, the religious and politically elite, set out to entrap Jesus, hoping to bring charges of blasphemy and sedition against him. They asked, so Jesus, is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? Of course, this is a trick question. For the Torah, the law of the people of Israel, prohibited Jews from cooperating with their foreign occupying forces. So in light of Jewish law, the answer, of course, should be no. Yet under Roman imperial law, all subjects were to pay taxes to the emperor. Not doing so would land someone in prison, or maybe worse. So it seems as if Jesus is caught in a no-win situation. Either he goes against Jewish law, or he goes against Roman law. trouble. Now, Jesus knows that the taxes need to be paid in Roman currency, and that as such, the coin used to pay these taxes would have the image and the title of the emperor struck on it. So he asks for a denarius, a coin representing one day's labor. With the coin in hand, Jesus once again turns the tables as he becomes the questioner, the one who is interrogated. He says, whose image is struck on this coin? When they answer, the emperor's, Jesus says, well, give to the emperor those things that are the emperor's. He implies that returning to the emperor that which is his, this earthly coinage, does not necessarily represent a turning a back on God's ways. You see, because Jesus follows with that next direction. While you might give to the emperor those things that are the emperor's, give to God those things that are God's. Give to God those things that are God's. Now, the chief priests and the Pharisees, who know their Hebrew scripture well, know that in the book of Genesis, in the creation stories, that God had created everything. The heavens and the earth, the oceans and the dry land, the creatures of the sea and of the air, and finally humanity in God's image, in the divine image. Hebrew scripture thus underscores that all aspects of creation, all aspects are stamped with the likeness of God. Recall that after each day of creation, God says, and it was good. And it was good. Caesar might be stamped on a coin, but God is stamped on everything. God is stamped on all creation. To give back to God that which in creation has come from God means to return everything to God. All that we are and all that we have. Jesus asserts unequivocally the incredible and an undeniable truth that God is the God of all creation, the God of love, to which we owe everything, without qualification and without hesitation. Now, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we affirm that same truth. God is the God of all creation. And we also say that this God, who is at the heart of creation, is so vast and so abundant in God's love that God actually chose to cross those divisions that alienated us from God and from one another by becoming one of us. In Jesus, fully human and fully divine, God crosses that boundary and becomes one of us. And in so doing, we are restored to unity with God and each other in Christ. That's what God is up to in the world, restoring us to unity with God and each other in Christ. We are being brought back into that goodness and love of God, which is at the heart of creation. And the amazing thing is that God invites us into that work ourselves in our baptism. Each and every one of us joins in that transforming mission of God in the world. Through the power of the Holy Spirit in baptism, we are empowered, equipped, restore all people to unity with God and each other in Christ. We live that goodness and love, and we share that goodness and love with the world. This vocation to participate in God's mission in Jesus is what Paul is giving thanks for in his first letter to the Thessalonians. He thanks God for those colleagues in God's mission. He thanks them for their work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus. Paul praises God for all that God and Jesus is up to amongst the Thessalonians and those followers of Jesus. Get it. They get that all that they are and all that they have is of and from their loving Creator God. They get that in and through Jesus, as the body of Christ, they are called to share that goodness and love with the whole world without hesitation and without qualification. The question before us this morning is, do we get it? Do we get that each and every one of us is created in the image of God? Do we get that all that we are and all that we have is because of the goodness and love of God? Do we get that we are invited into and can play a key role in that mission of God to restore all people to unity with God and each other in Christ? Can Paul say of the Episcopal Church in Connecticut, can Paul say of this gathered body, St. Paul's in Norwalk, I thank God for your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus. My hunch is that Paul would indeed say, I thank God for your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus here in Norwalk. This is, after all, St. Paul's church. Well, more precisely, St. Paul's on the Green. If we look around us here in this community of St. Paul's, we can and do experience the fullness of God's goodness and love. God's goodness and love in the beauty of this building and in the music that helps our souls and spirits rise to God. In the liturgy and in the sharing of God's body and blood that feed us and sustain us without exclusion, and in the reality that all sorts and conditions of folk are welcome here, find a home here in the radical hospitality of Jesus. This goodness and love, the goodness and love from God at the heart of creation, the goodness and love manifest in Jesus, the Incarnate One, the goodness and love in the community of Christians in Thessalonica and here at St. Paul's on the Green, this goodness and love is what Carrie and Ava and Grant, Christopher and Joshua are affirming anew as they confirm their baptismal vows. Goodness and love is what Russ and Jose and Aaliyah and Ryan and John and Andrea are coming into as they are received into this communion, the Anglican Episcopal way of being followers of Jesus. And it's the same goodness and love that we will be asked to affirm as we say together the baptismal covenant. remind us that God is a loving creator and is the source of all that we have and all that we are. They remind us that God in Jesus embodies the goodness and love of God. And they tell us that in baptism, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are commissioned in God's restoring and reconciling mission in the world. To this loving God who has created us, who has redeemed us, who sustains us, we owe all that we have and all that we are. And we are called to share that goodness and love with the world that is so much.